Okay, we're back right now, and we just played a small piece of an extract or a cut from the Lyricist CD, The Grand Portal. So we hope you enjoyed that little piece of music.
Which Charlotte Marie was part of.
Yeah, her voice is in that. I don't know if she was actually in that cut, but she's on that CD, her voice. And others who we don't know. We don't know who they are, but they're there.
They're in the mystery.
Yes. All right, why don't we continue reading this article on the link between the Wingmakers and Lyricus. Lyricus could be likened to the Jesuits or Tibetan monks of the central race, except that the teachers of Lyricus place a much more significant emphasis on the nexus of the integrated sciences and arts. Nonetheless, they are a faction of the central race and bear responsibility for shepherding a species to the grand portal, and thereby indoctrinating the species as a whole into the broader network of the intelligent, interconnected universe.
That's pretty powerful. It's a big assignment.
I would think so, probably much bigger than we can even conceive, but at least we're getting a little glimpse of this process. So they are a teaching order, so they're dedicated to, just like a monk would be, they're dedicated to teaching humanity on a cosmic scale.
You could also say that they really pay attention to the mission that they've been given by the head of their order.
Yes, whoever that head is, I mean,
That's
is it
right.
God, or is it, it's first source, or we don't really know exactly, but the highest intelligent being that's talked about in Wingmaker's material and Lyricus is God, or what is called first source.
Right.
So they have a mission, and it's to shepherd a species to the grand portal, or the discovery of its own immortality. But they don't do it through religion. That's the big difference. They do it through the nexus or the interconnection between the sciences and the arts. So that sets them off a little bit different than a religious order,
Well,
doesn't it?
their mission is different. Their mission is to proof, and scientific proof is very firm. If I can do that science experiment in New York City, then I should be able to do it in Moscow. I should do it in Beijing. I should do it in Canton. I can do it everywhere if it's science. Whereas if it's a mystical experience by religion, then everybody is going to experience that in a different way because it's of a different cultural mindset and understanding. But if it's science, it's got to match.
That really does, when we enter that phase, and it's supposed to happen during this century in a gradual, step-by-step fashion,
It's called protocols.
well, that event, the beginning of that process, is going to really change the rules of life on the planet, and it's going to be a big thing. In fact, it says in the material, which we will cover eventually, that it's the biggest thing, the biggest event that can happen to any planet of human beings is this gradual uncovering of this multidimensional reality, the proof that it exists, and proof that we are an immortal conscious being. So, we'll just leave it at that. Maybe you move on to the next paragraph here. What more can you say? This task requires a very broad agenda, encompassing genetics at its core. And the other six disciplines mentioned above or before as integral but peripheral forces that propel a human species to discover its own animating life force and the subtle vibratory fields in which it operates. Lyricus employs a variety of sensory data streams to awaken a species, ranging from music, books, art, science, culture, and mythology. Generally, these are isolated expressions, but as the species draws closer to the grand portal, the sensory data streams are increasingly integrated, encoded, and represent potent forces for the expansion of consciousness.
Well, I did some research on the computer. I thought, well, let's see what would happen. So I just decided to put in animating force. And when I put in animating force, I found many, many sites. But the bottom line was, this is like the soul energy that forces the human to be what it is. It is that spiritual animation of the soul.
Mm.
And then I thought, okay, let's see what...
Is it like the life principle? Like
life principle uh-huh. is our animating force, which is the soul.
Okay. Wow, yeah. That's interesting.
Yeah. And it came from all perspectives. I mean, all we found all sorts of Eastern and Western religion interspersed with, which I thought was very interesting, a site from the DARPA, which is the United States government.
DARPA?
Yes. I found it very interesting.
I forget what that acronym means, but...
I forgot what it is, too, but it's usually, I think, negative, but it's DARPA.mil, M-I-L, /DSO/BIOSI. You can take this out if you want to, but it's a good site.
Okay, that sounds cool. So DARPA, so people may be able to do some searches on that, but your point is that the animating life force is related to the soul, we think?
Based on everything I could read from old ideas to the very modern military idea.
Okay, that's I would never have thought you would have found something like that related to the military, but
I was surprised.
Yeah. Well, the other thing here is mentioning again that Lyricus employs a variety of sensory data streams, and as we said in the first segment of the show, that the sensory data stream of the Wingmaker's website contains all those elements. It contains the music and the visual art, and there's a book, and there's items there that have to do with mythology, you know, because the book is like the novel, Ancient Arrow Project, is like a modern myth, you know, but myths are based on truths. So that's I think, a pretty important thing to look at.
I think the other thing is that we are now looking at subatomic energy vibrations. So we're looking at all subtle vibrations that actually are more powerful than we ever thought them to be.
Where are you picking that up from this? Oh, you're talking about the subtle vibratory fields?
Yes, right.
Oh, all right. Okay, I'm sorry. You threw me a little with that. And I wasn't
sure
where you were coming from. Okay, that makes a lot of sense. So, yeah, that... I mean, we have the animating life force, which is the soul. And most texts on ancient psychology, I mean, yogas, different forms of yoga and psychologies, even modern day, point to the idea that the soul, the soul's basis is self-consciousness, consciousness, and individuality with a free will is the core of what soul means, at least in what we've studied and I've studied. So here you have the soul or consciousness experiencing what you just mentioned, subtle vibratory fields in which it operates.
Right.
Some of those subtle vibratory fields aren't so subtle in terms of the fact that we're living in a physical world, you know, where and where our consciousness is present inside of a physical brain and physical flesh body. But, you know, there are many people out there who believe that we survive the body, that the body dies, and that this consciousness then experiences a different environment, one of these other subtle vibratory fields. You know, some people might call it the astral plane, or some people might, more religious bent, might simply call it heaven or hell. But the soul or consciousness is experiencing another vibratory field beyond the physical one. There's no proof of that now, although there's plenty of research been done on near-death experiences and things of that nature. Yes. What we're talking about when we talk about the Grand Portal is that there will actually be technologies, you know, machines measuring devices that will prove that there is a consciousness that is experiencing something in another dimension, and we might be able to see it, hear it, communicate with it, whatever. And this is what is going to start this revolution toward the grand portal. And that's how I see that. The other thing I just want to mention before we move on, or if you have another comment here, is the fact that these sensory data streams, they become increasingly integrated, but they become encoded. And the encoding is what the Wingmakers material is all about at wingmakers.com, is that the music, the writings, such as the poetry, the philosophy, the lyricist discourses, are coded. Now, coding means that there's some kind of a pattern present that may not be obvious or on the surface. The paintings, for instance, have symbols in them. Now, the symbols can be interpreted in terms of what we know about the world out there, like, oh, that symbol reminds me of a mountain, or that reminds me of a bird, so that triggers other thoughts in my mind that, so maybe the meaning of this painting has something to do with the strength of a mountain or the freedom of a bird. But James has pointed out that the paintings also have coding that we are not aware of that do affect our DNA in some way. The music especially does it. And that may spook some people out, saying, oh, well, you know, what's it doing to me? I don't really know what it's doing to me. But that's all part of the process. If you feel drawn to Wingmakers and Lyricist materials, that's not going to bother you so much. But that's the idea of the encoding. The coding is happening on a level you can sort of look at and examine and analyze, but there's another coding beneath it.
But the coding here is not subliminal to make you go do something.
Yes, okay.
It is encoding that works on the DNA within your body itself and activates it. It's activation. As we study in biology, there's an activation process in order for cells to work. And so it's an activation to create the cells working at a higher level of thought processes in the mind and heart. And as this is what it's all about, it's not about subliminal
activation. Yeah, I'm glad you pointed that out. Yeah, because I wasn't thinking that way. Yeah.
People get a little upset when you say encoded and they get all spooked out, as you said, which is true, but it's not subliminal like our subliminal advertising that we have on our public televisions now, that, you know, everybody wants something. That's not what it is. It has to do strictly with activating codes that were in our DNA that could possibly be part of the junk DNA that the scientists at this point don't know what they're there for, and activate that and not something.
And someone quite, what's the right word? Someone might rightfully, you know, ask us, well, how do you know that? And all I could say for myself personally is the 3 to 4 years that we've personally committed to studying the material, doing the different exercises, it's had nothing but a positive effect on my outlook, on how I feel about life, on my ability to write, to speak to groups, to present. It's made me feel better. It's inspired me to find new ideas and new ways of looking into the meaning of things in my life. And believe me, as you know, and maybe some of the listeners, that I've been doing this since I was like this type of study, not Wingmakers, but other things, since I was like 20 years old. So, I mean, this has been over half my life. And I can say that Wingmakers has had a positive effect on me. So whatever coding or whatever way we want to say that is happening, I personally could vouch for my own sake, that it's been a positive thing.
We even do gardening, which we never did before.
Yeah, we started doing a little more gardening and getting in touch with the earth, which was something we hadn't done much. But, you know, so, I mean, that's kind of a...
We even planted flowers.
Literally a mundane effect of the Wingmakers material. Yeah, we did what?
We planted flowers.
Yeah, we actually planted flowers. So, there you go. Okay, why don't we go to the next paragraph here. Wingmakers is an expression of an encoded sensory data stream that is designed to help in the awakening process of those individuals incarnating in ever-increasing numbers over the next three generations. The Wingmakers sites, each of the seven, will be translated in a specific order. Each site carries a central theme that is connected to the seven disciplines of Lyricus. These seven disciplines, collectively, are the triggers for those incarnating in approximately 35 to 40 years, who will be the scientists, scholars, psychologists, and artists that will uncover and disseminate the Grand Portal. Wow, there's a lot there in that paragraph, isn't there?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Okay. And we've kind of, the definition of a generation is approximately somewhere in the area of 20 years.
Yeah,
give
I think
or,
we
give or take a,
maybe,
a few.
The 20 official to 25 definition or
is,
something.
The official definition really is from the birth of the mother to the birth of the first child. In this day and age, that's getting pretty long since we just had somebody had a baby yesterday. It was 56. So.
In the news?
In the news.
Heard about something? Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
So I think we'll take the average, which was about 20 to 25 years. So that's what it means by a generation.
Yes. So there are, now this, when you read this, and someone who may not believe in reincarnation, we're not even discussing reincarnation, but here it's saying that individuals incarnating in ever-increasing numbers in the next 35 to 40 years is explicitly saying that, oh, there are souls out there, there are conscious individuals who don't exist on your planet yet, perhaps, but are going to be born on your planet. So whoever's writing this material or is responsible for this particular essay knows, or at least they claim to know, that there are souls or beings who come and visit certain planets or are born in certain planets at certain periods of time when they can do an effective change or affect some sort of major change in that planet. And these people are going to become these scientists, scholars, psychologists, and artists that are going to help in the discovery of the human soul. So the seven Wingmaker sites that are in the novel, in which Darlene did a good job, you know, telling us, explaining what they all are, genetics, neosciences, and whatnot, as they are uncovered in the story, they are going to contain the very clues and inspiring information that these people that are going to be born will use. So the story itself, which we didn't mention, but maybe most people know it already, that only one quarter of the novel is actually published on the, you know, on the CD-ROM and part of it on the internet. So we don't really know what the rest of the story contains, but each part of that story and the music and the art and the other items that are released along with each site will each contain encoded sensory data stream information that's going to inspire people. And that's pretty exciting stuff.
Well, that kind of gives a story of what there's a book called Serendipity. It gives all little explanations about different scientific discoveries and how maybe these scientists came in and they would, for instance, the benzene ring that was discovered, he discovered it in his sleep. Mm. So as he was sleeping, he saw the snake eating its tail, and he ended up writing the whole thing about the benzene ring. And, you know, all these scientists came in, did their mission, and many of them, their experiments or their inventions changed the world.
Yeah, lots of these scientists have been mystics, even prior to ever being a scientist, but it was the... and you find that when you read about some of the lives of these men and women, that they had an intuitive sense of something,
right.
A vision perhaps that led to the initial idea, and then they spent the rest of their lives formulating, you know, mathematics and whatnot and writing about it.
Well, Edison would take a nap. But he would
steel.
Would have balls in his hands so that when he was dreaming, and he had a dream about something, and the ball would drop. He'd wake up and write down the dream that he had about the invention that he needed to make.
Yeah, so Edison must have had a sense that something was happening during sleep that he couldn't quite, you know, we've all had experience. You wake up from a dream and you say, wow, I had this dream and I can't quite, I have a feeling that it was important or interesting, but I don't remember the details. So that must have been happening to him, I guess, right? And well, so he got this idea that if he could hold these steel balls and then
they drop,
that would wake him up and then he would know, you know.
And the ones that he didn't do it right away, he never remembered the invention.
Well, you know, that reminds me, I think there was a company, I don't know who it was, but they have a device on the market that when you go to sleep at night, you wear this mask over your eyes. And when you go into REM sleep and your eyes start moving, it does something. It slowly begins to wake you up so that you will become aware that you're dreaming. So it's a device. I don't think it's to wake you up, but it's to bring you to a certain level of consciousness so that you're doing the lucid dreaming. You mentioned that before.
Right.
One of these
it's under
sites.
Psychocoherence.
Under psychocoherence, that there was a thing there about lucid dreams.
Yeah.
Lucidity Institute.
Right.
So, I mean, people could explore all over the internet and begin to find research places that are beginning to do work. I mean, this heart math thing.
Right.
Is a big thing.
Oh,
and
absolutely.
The Lyricus material, the latest discourses, are beginning to move in a direction of talk about the relationship between the heart and the brain and say that it is actually one system.
Right.
And so this, again, is, I don't want to talk about a lot of that today, but these are hints that there are devices, technologies, I mean, these dream machines, these meditation things, all of that are starting to work on the idea of our consciousness, you know.
Well, also what helps us is that what they're finding is that the biology of that system really has an important affect and effect on every part of our living.
Oh, wow.
Because if we don't have that in balance, then the body can become diseased and it can cause great heart problems. So really, if the heart is the central pumping instrument in the physical body, and that energy really needs to be basically as calm as it can be.
Yes. I mean, the whole idea of the heart having a rhythm to it is very symbolic of the... I mean, it's basically telling us, if we want to talk about symbolism, that our very lives should have a certain rhythm to them, a certain breath, an in-breath, an out-breath, and that there's a flow going on there. And so, I mean, this is important to understand. Our final paragraph here, it's a short one, and let me read that and then we can finish up our discussion. Wingmakers is part of the mythological expression of Lyricus that typically accompanies its first exterior expression within a species. It is the calling card, announcing its initial approach as it treads softly among the species to which it serves. Wingmakers is the mythological expression of the underlying structure of the Lyricus teaching order. It is symbolic of how Lyricus is brought to the planet. And that's the end of this document. Well, that in itself contains some kind of loaded information, because it implies some interesting things that... Perhaps the story itself, the novel itself, although not in detail, but perhaps an overall structure of the way things are going to unfold in that novel, are illustrative of what the Lyricus teaching order is based upon, or what its structure of operation is.
Would you say, you know, it's its mission on how to lead from the human species to the discovery of the Grand Portal?
You mean the storyline,
the
plot
line,
of it. Yes, I mean, most definitely.
And then you also, we've talked about it too, but that when Naruto has to take his heroic journey, and how each of us has to be willing to take that journey in order to get to the point where we have that integral consciousness.
Yeah, because Naruto, we have to remember, I've probably mentioned this at other places. I know in workshops we talk about it. He is representative of the hero and the hero's journey, as you just said. And Joseph Campbell talked about that and wrote about it. And he's been attached to this ACIO organization all his life. And suddenly the Wingmakers come on the scene and they talk to him personally through this technology that they've left here. We don't know how it was done, but he receives the information personally, and the information transforms him. It absolutely changes him. And this is so important because it isn't just the idea that he's been given new knowledge, but it's the idea that the knowledge has transformed his consciousness, has expanded it. And guess what? He no longer fits into the group of which he was a part and he dedicated his whole life. And so he's driven by this very desire to seek the truth of the Wingmakers. He's driven to defect from the organization he's known all his life.
Which he would eventually be the head of.
Yeah, he was even slated to become the head of this organization, and he leaves it in order to find these other six sites around the world, because they had already discovered the ancient Arrow site in New Mexico.
Well, would you say that what they left him and what he saw was kind of like his mission statement, that he would do this? They gave him a story, and
yes,
he saw the story, and now he has a mission.
Yeah, in a way, they gave him a mission, and he had the free will to either take it or not. I mean, we all do, but the thing is that certain information has impact on us, and sometimes we don't understand the nature of the soul in the sense of, well, where were we before we were here in these bodies? So some people believe that we do have a purpose that can be triggered in us when we're ensouled in a body. And that once that's triggered, and maybe some people out there have had an experience like that, where they just feel called that they're going to do a certain thing. Usually that's been understood in the terms of religion. But nowadays it could be in terms of other things, like starting an innovative business, or discovering some new art form, or creating beautiful music. You know, it's happened in the 1700s, 1800s, so much.
And not only
in
that
period.
Don't forget the Beatles. They changed the world.
Yeah, the Beatles were a phenomenon. Like, where did that come from all of a sudden? You know, they were seen to be destined to do that. And so these things are very interesting. And, you know, as we go on with the material, we're going to be talking about lots of those issues. Even more will come up. And I'm sure it's going to be really a fascinating journey for us as we talk about these things. So, in a way then, Lyricus is the source of the Wingmakers website. It's not just one person creating it. One person is the point person in the Lyricus teaching order assigned to translate the material and bring it down for us to understand. But there are other teachers working and from Lyricus on the planet, and anonymously, we're told, who also have roles to play. And I think as we get further and further along here, year after year, new phases of their work is going to come online. And the internet is an integral, very important part of this whole dissemination of knowledge. And why? Because the knowledge belongs to everybody all over the world. It's not just knowledge for one particular group. There's no elitist thing going on here. And that's why it was put on the internet. And we're going to share other articles on the Lyricus site as we go on that'll get into that in more detail.
It's really a individual thing that you can go into, study it, make it part of yourself, and see how it's going to impact the future at the same time.
Yes, yes, very much so. So we hope you enjoyed this presentation on this material, and visit the sites. And if you want to email us about the show, you can send them to info@planetworkpress.com. planetworkpress.com. info@planetworkpress.com. So until the next time, take care, and it's been a pleasure having this chance to talk about these things.
Happy Wingmakers time.
Goodbye.